If you would care to return to the passage read earlier in John's Gospel in chapter 19, I'd like to draw your attention to one of the sayings of the Lord Jesus, which we have there in verse 28. Read this after this. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst. I thirst." I'm not sure if you realize, but there are 7 recorded sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The first of them was said immediately after he was crucified. And there, as he were addressing those who had crucified him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second was given as a word of encouragement to one of the prisoners, one of those who was crucified with him. That man had turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord turned to him and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And then the third saying we have were words which we find earlier in this chapter, which we read earlier. And they are words which were addressed first to Mary and his mother and to John, the beloved disciple. To Mary he says, "Woman, behold your son." And to John he says, "Behold your mother." And then there follows those 3 hours of darkness upon the whole land. And at the conclusion of those we have our Lord giving those words Eli, Eli, lama sabathani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then a short time afterwards, we come then to this, the fifth saying of the Lord Jesus, "I thirst, I thirst." When I was preparing this address during the week, one of the main thoughts which came to mind is, we are on holy ground. So often we can trample, as it were, upon the Word of God. So often we can come in a hurried manner. And yet here, we are on holy ground. Just as, remember when Moses came before that burning bush, the presence of the Lord, "Take off your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And similarly, when we come to this event of momentous event of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are indeed on holy ground. If you wish, you could compare it to going into the sick room of a loved one who is dying. You don't trample in there. You don't rush in there. Rather, you go in there quietly, almost on tiptoe, almost holding your breath as you enter that room, and you are eager to hear perhaps those final words of that loved one there in that room. And similarly, we're in this position as we have this scene set before us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we hear these sayings one after the other, and this one, and as we come to this saying, how amazing. Just pause for a moment. John opens his gospel by speaking about this Lord Jesus Christ, that through him all things were made, without whom nothing was made that was made. And yet from the lips of this Creator, the Creator, we have, "I thirst." The great Creator, the God-man, from his lips come these words, "I thirst." So what I want to do then this morning is just to look at these words and to look into them various headings. First of all then, it's a timely saying. As I'm going to explain, this is now the fifth of the sayings of the cross. And it was said at this appropriate time. that verse 28 says this: after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Jesus knew that this was now the moment, this was now the time which had arrived for him giving this particular saying. This was the time. Time and again, as we go through John's Gospel, we are confronted with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember there when there in that first chapter where he meets with Nathanael. There we read this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus knew this man Nathanael. In chapter 2, there at the Passover, it says this, there were many who believed in the Lord Jesus. But it says Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify about him. Chapter 4, we come across there that woman at the well, and he challenges her. It comes to that point where she's trying to deviate things, but he says to her, woman, call your husband. The woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you answered well, for you had five husbands, and he whom you now hast is not your husband. In that you said, truly. Jesus knew this woman. And then similarly, he knew it was who was to betray him. John 6, we read this. There are some of you that believe not, says the Lord Jesus. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who believed not and who should betray him. And if we go on to chapter 21 of John's Gospel, there we find Jesus with Peter. And Lord is coming and asks, do you love me? And there's that response from Peter, Lord, you know all things. All things. And so it's not surprising then that here in this we find that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he then gives this saying, I thirst. Those 3 dark hours in where he was to be that sin bearer and was to know the punishment for our sins. He who was perfect was made sin for us and was to know the wrath of God poured out upon him. He knew it was accomplished and was able to say, now I thirst. But then this saying, I thirst, is also one which has authority in it. Jesus was not passive at the cross. He was active. He was involved. He had this conscious involvement. Picture him, he's brought there to Golgotha and there's offered him that goblet which containing not only wine but also a drug which would numb the person who drank it so that they would become a degree of senselessness when they were crucified and hopefully help ameliorate some of the pain. But Jesus didn't take that. He refused that drink because he wanted to be in full control of his senses and know fully the sufferings which he was going to undertake. He was in control. But what a contrast we find with those who were there at the cross. Early in the passage which we read of those soldiers. Look at it there, verse 23. It says this, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made 4 parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Paul, speaking in Syrian Antioch, speaking about the death of the Lord Jesus, says this, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre." When they had fulfilled, and similarly here, these soldiers, they were fulfilling what had been already decreed. But there's a difference with the Lord Jesus. There's a difference. He's in control. Earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 13, we find this, that there in the upper room, it says, he now knows, says this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He wasn't passive. And they look at that scene when he was arrested there, and those come from the priest to take him, led there by the betrayer. There in chapter 18. He asks them, "Whom are you seeking?" in verse 4. And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. He gave himself. He was in full control. They fell back because of his overwhelming power. He was in control. And so when the Lord Jesus makes this saying, "I thirst," it was for a purpose. Because he knew that when he gave this statement, it would result in an appropriate response by the soldiers. That they would offer him then the sour wine. But it was at his timing, he said, "I thirst." He was in control. Verse 29, "Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. They filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" But he made the statement at that time of his choosing, so that that response would be elicited. He was active. He was in control. He was in authority. And as we will see, that this a particular prophecy would be completed. So then here we have this saying of the Lord Jesus, "I thirst," one of authority. But it's also a scriptural saying. As we go through this crucifixion scene, we are reminded of that Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. And there are cross references between the crucifixion scene and that scene. And we have one here. In Psalm 22 and verse 15, we read this, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws." As we've seen earlier in our reading there, that past that quotation, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." That's taken from Psalm 22, verse 18. And similarly here, this statement of the Lord Jesus, we see it there in that Psalm 22 and verse 15. "My tongue clings to my jaws," and Jesus says, "I thirst. I thirst." Throughout his life, the scriptures had been dominant in his thinking. He showed his dependence upon them, and he used them in an authoritative manner. Go back to the very beginning of his ministry, and there, when he's tempted by the devil, how does he respond to the devil during those three particular temptations? "It is written, it is written, it is written." And similarly, when he was in dispute with the Pharisees, what does he say? "Have you not read? Have you not read the scriptures?" What does he go back to? His own? He goes back to the authority of the scriptures. They were his authority. And he used them with effect. And is it not then surprising then that here at the very end of his life, what's he doing but bringing the scriptures and quoting them? So then in these final moments of his life, he's there quoting from this Psalm 22 verse 15. So it's a scriptural saying. But it's also a fulfillment saying. That is a saying which was to fulfill scriptures. As I said earlier, when our Lord said, "I thirst," he knew that there would be set in sequence a series of actions, namely that the soldiers would go to that container with sour wine, would dip that sponge in it, and with a branch of hyssop lift it to his lips. He knew that in that act there would be a fulfilling of scripture. Psalm 69 and verse 21 says this, "And for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Jesus, as it were, there at this moment on the cross, shortly before he's going to die, in his mind, as it were, he's scanning back through the scriptures to seeing which part of scripture is yet to be fulfilled. And there comes to mind this particular passage. Last Christmas, for Elizabeth, I bought her an electronic crossword solver. I'm not sure if you've got one. We use it a lot these days. It means that when you've got that particular answer, you're going to find that answer to that clue in your crossword. You've got certain letters. You type in the letters that you know, and the ones you don't know, you put question marks. And what happens is then the crossword solver goes to its memory bank and then produces various solutions, as it were, to the letters and the queries which you produced. It searches its memory. And similarly, as it were, the Lord Jesus scans his memory. What scripture is yet unfulfilled? And there comes this particular one. "And for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." And so he says, "I thirst." At the beginning of his ministry, there in the Sermon on the Mount, we read this, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." After the resurrection, we find the Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples who were saddened. What did they do? We read this about them. He says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later that night, as he's there with his own close disciples, there he speaks to them. He says this, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Lord Jesus then scans the scriptures. And there's this scripture still unfulfilled. And so he says, "I thirst." Not one of these must be left unfulfilled. We may say, well, it's only a little one. It perhaps seems insignificant. You've done the great work. But there was that scripture which was unfulfilled. And the Lord Jesus would see that it would be fulfilled. He took the scriptures so seriously. They were his life. That fulfillment mattered. Are they precious to us? Are they our meat and our drink? Do we feed upon them? Do we let them become part of us? They were so bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then this saying, "I thirst," it's also a personal and a revealing saying. For what we have in this particular saying is brought to us the reality of his sufferings. Picture it. For over 6 hours he'd been crucified. The heat. His naked body. One of the inevitable side effects of crucifixion was gross dehydration. So he says, I thirst. But he'd been scourged. And there was no complaint of his scourging or the pains he suffered from that. He'd been crowned with that crown of thorns pressed hard upon his forehead. There was no complaint or mutter about that. He'd been beaten to pulp. He cared not about his bruises. He'd been crucified. His flesh had been torn by those cruel nails. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he says, I thirst. And he says it personally, to show the sufferings he was going through, as well as I can see the consequences of saying it. But we get that window, as it were, to realize he was suffering agonies. I thirst. It shows his humanity. At the beginning of his ministry there, for 40 days and 40 nights, what does it say? He was hungry. He was starving. He was famished. There at the well, there in Samaria, after the lengthy journey, it says he was weary. At the tomb of Lazarus, we find him weeping, groaning. Our Lord then shows his humanity and his weakness, the weakness, weariness, tiredness, hunger, emotions. And so here he says, I thirst. He was a real man. But also in saying this, he shows he's a man in need. He shows that continual dependence upon his Father. Go back to those temptations. Remember that first one. The devil comes to him and says, command these stones to be made bread. You are starving. You've gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights. Feed yourself. You can doubt the power. What does Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was not going to misuse his power then to satisfy his need, and he was not going to misuse his power on the cross when he said, I thirst. He again looked to his Father. He was a man, and he shows in these words his suffering. The writer of the Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There is nothing which we can experience as far as pains and struggles which he's not felt. How much more so is he then able to give that sympathy and give that care? Whatever your particular need this morning, he can enter in. He can share with you. He's known it. For there on the cross he said, I thirst. The great creator. I thirst. And he shows before us then that perfect life of obedience. That obedience which he'd shown to his Father throughout his life. He shows the very end. So then, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross knew what it was to be thirsty, that we should know what it is to drink of living water. He knew what it was to thirst, that we should be able to drink of the water that he gives and never thirst. As it says, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said, I thirst, that we should never know thirst and be satisfied in Him. And the question this morning is, do you know where it is to come to that same Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Do you know where it is to come to Him, to confess your sins and your utter need of Him as your Saviour, to bring you right with God, and that you may know living waters in your life and at peace? And know it is never to thirst, knowing that trust in Him. Do you know it? You can know Him today. He's ready. He is willing. He is open. Call on Him and He will answer. Jesus said, I thirst. Amen.